insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ
We had arrived at verse 120. This is a very important verse that we are about to discuss, especially in contemporary times, which are somewhat similar to the beginning of the time when the Prophet was preaching his message, and especially in Medina. The similarity between the two times is that we know that after the Holy Prophet moved to Medina, gradually he started gaining power in the social political arena in the Arabian Peninsula, to the extent that before he passed away, much of the Arabian Peninsula was taken and was ruled over by the Holy Prophet and by the Muslims. Gradually, that influence grew through the region after the Holy Prophet ﷺ passed away. It grew to the extent that parts of Europe, parts of North Africa and East Africa, parts of Asia and the Near East, they all became part of the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim Empire, as they call it. But during the beginning of the move, the Prophet did not have that much influence and did not have that much power. The numbers were very small, and others were more powerful compared to the Prophet and the people that were around him. Today too, we see that the superpowers are not from the Muslims. The power that the Muslims have in contemporary times is not very much. The numbers are not very high. In terms of the numbers that count, actually, yes, there are 2 billion Muslims around the globe, or over 2 billion Muslims. However, the power lies with the non-Muslims, the West in particular. And what we see similar in these times compared to those times is that people, Muslims, because of that greater influence that comes from the outside, from the non-Muslims, and the complaints, there's a struggle very similar to the old times. We have a struggle today that the West is struggling with the Muslim world right now, and the Muslims are trying to grow out of the Western influence. So one of the things that the West does and the non-Muslims do is that they get onto the Muslims for their beliefs, for their practices, for their ethics, for their codes that they practice based on. These are issues that we see are attacked by the West, by the non-Muslims. At that time too, these were issues that were mentioned. Like, for example, we explained in previous sessions that that the Qibla of the Muslims, the direction that they would face for worship, was the same direction that the Jews would face. So the Jews would be making fun of this practice of the Muslims, saying that you guys aren't even your own, you don't have your own religion. You guys are basically following our religion. And other issues that they used to pick on the Muslims to get them down. This verse is a very important verse in explaining to us principles of conduct in relation to these issues, and what our expectations should be, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about what will happen. We should never forget that we should not neglect the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that governs this universe. He has got control over it, and He tells us in certain instances how things work, how people's minds are changed, how the situation is changed, and what we need to work towards and what we need to do to get there. So we shouldn't forget that. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very, very important point about the conduct we should take, and also about the belief we should have regarding the future and about other people and how their minds are going to be changed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never will the Jews be pleased with you, nor the Christians, unless you follow their creed. This is very important, brothers and sisters. Today, as we said, there are many, many, many different issues regarding the religion of Islam that are being thrown out at the Muslims. The reaction of the Muslims is very different. You have some that are branded with extremism and sometimes terrorism that are saying, and they are answering what the West is claiming against Islam and the Muslims in this way, that they are saying, no, this is right, what we have is right, and what the kuffar are saying, what the kafirs are saying, what the non-Muslims are saying is absolutely wrong, we should stick to what we have. You have a group of people that are branded as moderates that or reformists sometimes, that what they do is they try to say that, oh, this is not part of Islam or that is not part of Islam. They reject anything that sounds to the Western audience and to the Western non-Muslim taste buds. It sounds and feels and tastes bad. They like to change that, or they would like to say that this is not part of Islam, or they would like to say that even if it was at some time part of Islam, now it's not and we should question it. And sometimes we see people are confused, and I think the majority fall under this category. We've got to realize that a lot of the propaganda that is going on against Islam are lies about what Islam believes in. Sometimes they're not lies in the sense that there is no Muslim that believes in it. No, there are Muslims that may even believe in some of the things that are being said and claim to be part of Islam. But what we mean that they are not true, what we mean by saying that they are not true, is that they're not actually part of Islam. Just because some people claim something is part of Islam, that does not mean that it is actually part of Islam. Okay. So some of the things we don't need to defend because they're not part of Islam. This is something very important. Of course, for people who haven't studied Islam thoroughly, we're not going to know which one of those claims and accusations or which one of those points that are taken against the Muslims in the Western media are actually parts of Islam and misinterpreted, or and which ones are actually not facts, but they are misconceptions about what Islam has said. We are not going to know that unless we have studied Islam thoroughly. So it's very important that we do that. So some of the things that are being claimed against Islam, they're not even part of Islam. But some of the things that are being said and are being used to condemn Islam and the Muslims, they're actually very factual parts of Islam. They are facts. There's no one that can deny them as being part of Islam. If anyone denies that as being part of Islam, they're denying the prophethood of our prophet, and they are denying actually the whole of Islam according to the Holy Quran. About those facts that we have in Islam, to try to interpret them to meet the standards of the Western audience that is not Muslim, to change the flavor and the explanation that we have regarding them, is going to be what this verse is saying. It is not going to work. First of all, as we said, that is wrong. One example that I need to mention is the issue of jihad. Yes, jihad is part of Islam. We're not going to be apologetic about it. Jihad is a very logical fact in Islam. Both the defense, or the jihad and the fighting, that's a defense, and the offensive jihad with the correct explanation and the philosophy behind it. But we do have what is called offensive jihad, but it's not the offensive war that the West thinks. Okay, we need to emphasize that as well. This is also a fact. But to think that I'm going to be apologetic, or that no, it can't be true that Islam accepts jihad, and I need to explain that in a way. No, who says there is jihad, there's offensive jihad? No, it's all defensive jihad. The Prophet didn't have any offensive jihad and the likes of that. Denying parts of history, denying the facts of Islam, this is not something that's going to be in and of itself right, first of all. Okay, that's a very important point that we're establishing. But what the verse is emphasizing on is you're not even going to get to what your aim is in trying to adjust the flavor of the ahkam or the beliefs of Islam to the standards and to the taste buds of others. It's not going to work. What you're trying to aim for is to satisfy them with accepting you as someone that has got a valid belief and let you stay the way you are. That's not going to happen. The verse says very clearly, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never will the Jews be pleased with you, nor the Christians, unless you follow their creed. Basically, the non-Muslims, not just the Christians and the Jews, they will not be satisfied and pleased with you, no matter what you do. Even if you go and explain things in that way, unless you either deny all the principles of faith that goes against what their belief is, they're not going to be pleased with you. They're not going to accept you. And that's what this is saying. Unless you follow all of what they believe in, what they accept, you've got to do. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to satisfy them and to please them. So unless you want to be a Christian or a Jew or a non-Muslim, an atheist or whatever they are, you cannot please them. So don't think you can be a Muslim and please them. You either are a Muslim and you accept what Islam says and you explain it the way Islam says it, or you're going to be part of them. This is the way it is. So brothers and sisters, we've got to realize, first of all, what are the facts about our religion? We need to do that. And we need to know what the correct understanding and explanation of these facts about our religion are. And afterwards, not change that content of the religion to please others. And we should know, even if we want to do that, we're not going to meet the goal that we have started that for. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to do all of that and to stay away from doing something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
سبحانك يا من لا شريك له 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 سبحانك.